Yeah, okay. All right, so it's an amazing thing that in general, in Torah, you see, Moshe Rabbeinu was Rabban shel Kol Yisrael, Adon HaNeviim, but the Torah never presents him as always being right. As always being right. Many things you see in the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu had an oversight, or somebody else pointed out to him certain ideas, like, for instance, in the order of the Mishkan, famous one, that Bezalel, that he wanted to make first his mitzvah to make the Kelim, and then the Mikdash, and Bezalel reversed it, and he thought into it, and he said, Shema Bezalel Keli Yisrael, you're right. So, in Yahadis, we don't have an ideal like in the world. The great man is always right. I mean, our greatest man was not always right. And in Parshas Yisro is another example. An outstanding example. You see that, Moshe Rabbeinu took advice from a guy who was a great chacham and someone that he respected. And even asked him to stay with him by Yisalon Alaynayim. And the Chachma from Yisrael is really in two areas. The one area is on the surface is difficult to see. And that is in the plain advice that he gave him. In the plain advice that he gave him. That he said that, he told him, he says that, Novel Tibol, you can't do what you're doing. Gamato Gamacholoma Shaimach. Losucha Lasol of Adecha. So that, on the surface, doesn't sound like such brilliant advice. I mean, his advice was, in plain terms, was delegation of authority. That's something, a basic principle that every manager knows. But it certainly wasn't a new concept. I mean, actually, you see this concept in the Torah itself. You see this concept before Yisro. Where do you see it? What? By Yosef HaTzadik. By Yosef, you see it, because when Yosef revealed to Paro the interpretation of the dreams. And he told them that this thing which seems bad is really a tremendous opportunity. But he said right away, he says, Vata Yever Faro Ish Novam Lachacham. Vishi Say All Eretz Mitzrayim. So you should choose, select a very intelligent person and appoint him on the land of Mitzrayim. Yasef Faro V'yafke Pekidim Al Eretz. So he says, Pekidim. What's Pekidim? He says, Yabe Paro V'yemane Mehem Din Alara. That he should appoint throughout the land reliable people that that he could delegate authority to. This is, we have one great chacham. You should choose one very intelligent man. And this intelligent man should select others, delegate authority to others in order to accomplish the goal. Of conserving rationing the food. So I mean this idea, the idea of delegation of authority wasn't a new idea, and it was an old idea. It's an idea that no doubt every melech knew, and in any system of management you have to have delegation of authority. So on the surface, I mean, it's difficult really to see what the on the surface. What the great chachma of Yisrael was. You have to look into it a little bit. But in the area where you really see more clearly is the area of Va'ata Sechazem Mikol Ha'om, because he has certain requirements when he says to whom you should delegate authority. So to whom you should delegate authority? So he mentions four qualities. Anshe Chayil, Yiriel Lakim, Anshe Emes, and Sonei Vatsa. And Chazal derive halachas from these psukim. Derive halachas about Dayanim from these psukim. So Yisro, the non-Jew, was the one that had insight into perfection, Shleimus Adam, and perfection of man, and what the exact qualifications of a Dayan should be. But the qualifications of a Dayan is not simply matter. See, the Rambam says the Rambam says in his Hakdama to Pirush Mishnayos. So the Rambam says that why did Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi organize the Mishnayos? He goes into how Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi organized the Mishnayos. So the Rambam says that why is it that Avos is at the end of Seder Nezikin? So the Rambam says like this. He gives two reasons. One reason is because so people have to know the Masorah, and they have to know that after Sanhedrin, after Shavuos, and after the Masechtas that deal with Dayonis, so they have to know that there's a Masorah, and the Dayan is an important individual. He's a Bala Masorah, and that's why you have to listen to him. That's one reason. But the second reason he gives is that he says, "Kedei le'ashmiyonu b'masechtazu musar kol chacham mina chachamim olav hashalom, kedei shenilmad mehem mivchah hamidos." So we should derive from them the best of the midos. Va'adayonim zekukim lahem yosu mikol adam. He says dayonim require the perfection of the midos more than any other average person. Why? Because it says ki imlo yilmod hamon musar. Because if an ordinary person doesn't learn musar, ain adavim mazik leklal. So he doesn't really harm others. Lo hizik elei atzma buvad. He only harmed himself because he didn't live in line with perfection. Achim lo yia hadayim bal musar umenumos hareyu oved umaaved esam beniskav. So he destroys and himself, and he destroys the entire nation through the damage that he does. So therefore, that's why he began with, that's why he put Avos in the, after he gets finished with the end of the halachas of Dayanim. So he organizes the Divrei Musar, with regard to the Dayanim. Because they are the individuals that it is most important that they have the perfection. So you see that the qualities of the Dayanim really are the ultimate qualities of Adam. Qualities of the Dayanim are the ultimate. If you want to say that Dayanim require certain qualities, it's not an idea. The concept is not that the judge has certain qualities that are necessary to be a judge. You see, the qualities are the ultimate qualities of Shleimus HaAdam in general. See, why that has to be that way is a good question. That's a good question. Why does it have to be that way? In every area, you have a carpenter, so a carpenter requires certain qualities. That's carpentry. But over here, we don't say that the Dayanim have certain qualities for a judge. I mean, what? Qualities in order to engage in judicial practice. But those qualities don't have to be the same qualities as a person that engages in medicine. And every field has its own requirements. But Yehadasa comes out that that's not the case. That the Dayan is not one that requires qualities for Dayanus. He requires qualities for Shleimus HaAdam. The highest level of Shlemus. And the question is why? I mean, why can you isolate the judicial qualities? But that's a Yesod in Yehadas. It's an interesting thing. Yesod in Yehadas is that the Shlemus are that the Dayan has to be the Sholei Mikol Adam. That's what the Rambam is saying. That's the quality. So when Yisro gave these qualities, so these are the ultimate qualities of perfection in man. That means that Yisro knew not simply what the qualities are to be an expert in the field. See, he knew what the ultimate qualities of Shlemos HaAdam are. That's an amazing thing. That's an amazing thing. Yeah. So, the question, of course, is, I mean, to understand why that is that way. But to understand why that is that way requires an understanding of what justice is, of what justice is, and why justice really, and the execution of justice. In order to execute justice, in order to be an individual that brings about justice, you have to be the most perfect individual in the world. Okay? Why should that be the case? But it's interesting. The Ramban goes on the psukim of the perfections. So Ramban says like this. So Ramban says, Anshe Chayel, he says basically is Zrizim. Okay. Zrizim. But Zrizim means that a person, an energetic person, but he has to have his energy in this area. In the area of, most people don't have their energy in the area of, of executing a mishpat. I mean, it's not something that people are drawn to. Something people do is an obligation. But Anshe Chayel means that there's reason bedavar, that they're individuals that really are drawn to this area of justice. They're people that are involved in justice and they're drawn to it. Question, of course, is what kind of a draw is that? It doesn't seem to be like a natural draw. It seems like justice is something that you have to do it. I mean, there's people that you have Dinei Torah and people are debating and quarrelsome and you have to be able to execute Mishpat. But Anshe Chayel means that there's reason. So that also is a question. It's a different kind of a Zrizus. What kind of a Zrizus is it? Yeah. But the first qualities are Yirei Elokim. Anshe Chayel means reason. That's an overall. Zrizim is an overall quality. But then you have Anshe Chayel, Yirei Elokim, Anshe Emes, and Sonei Vatzah. So just basically, Yirei Elokim means, of course, means great Chachamim. The clear implication of because Yiras Hashem is not possible unless a person is a great Chacham. So Yirei Elokim includes the Chacham min Nevonim. And Anshe Emes, the question is, why do you have to have Anshe Emes? I mean, if the Yirei Elokim, so it means that the Yirei Shemayim means that he's not concerned about anything except whatever he does should be correct before Hashem. So Yirei Elokim means, Yirei Shemayim means, that's what Chazal always say. What is Yirei Shemayim? Yirei Shemayim is something that you can't notice because Yirei Shemayim is always in the area where Bnei Adam can't know about it. If somebody could know about it, that's not Yirei Shemayim anymore. That's Yiras Adam. So that's why Nir Hashem Lekechem, Rashi always says that only HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows. That's the true Yirei Shemayim, where nobody else can know. So of course, Yirei Elokim would clearly require Anshe Emes. I mean, that's Emes. That means a person just loves the truth, and the truth is a truth that exists before God, and nothing else matters at all. So that's on the surface. That would include Anshe Emes. So Rashi really answers that question.
Then the first thing sounds like, right?
What, Anshe Emes, you mean?
No, Yirei Elokim sounds like should be the first thing.
We'll see. We'll see why the order. Let's first get the. That's a further thing. But let's first get the idea. So what is Anshe Emes? So Rashi says Elu Balei Avtocha. Shehein kedai lismoch al devrayim. Shal yidei kach yu devrayim nishmoyim. So Rashi says that people that it's known that they're trustworthy. They're people of their word. So Anshe Emes, Rashi interprets, not people of truth, because obviously that's included, like we said, in Yirel Kid. So what does Anshe Emes says? Balei Avtocha. Balei Avtocha means that people that everyone knows, it's a known fact that when this person gives his word, he doesn't change. So that Rashi learns is specific for a dayan. Why? Because a person can be Yiri Lakim, but he's a quiet individual. I mean, people don't know about him, and he's Yiri Shemayim, but no one engaged in business with the man in an overt way where you see he gave his word and it was really worth his while to back off on his word, but he didn't back off. He kept his word. So some people have a reputation that they're balei avtocha. That's what Anshe Emes Rashi says means. So apparently Rashi understands that a dayan is not a dayan has certain qualities. Of course, all the qualities in a dayan are qualities of perfection. But a dayan also has to mean an individual that some of his perfection is known klapei chutz to the am. Because apparently Rashi holds if a person, even though a dayan may be a dayan emes, he may judge properly, but if he's a liar, if he's meshana diburo, and he lies along the way, he doesn't always speak the truth, so then he can't function as a dayan. That's a psul as a dayan. Why? Because a dayan is somebody that the people have to have faith in the dayan. They have to have faith in the dayan. And if they don't have faith in the dayan, so then the whole dayanus is butlum avutl. Because dayanus is really something which is more than just executing mishpat. The dayan is an individual that represents the perfection of mishpat. And people have to be drawn and rely on him and know that he is an individual that reflects perfection. So it's a worse crime if a dayan is meshana b'dibur, if a dayan lies, than if an ordinary person lies. Because dayanus is more than just the act of judging. It means that the people have to have faith and a certain respect for the dayan and a certain security in the fact that he is a true dayan, you see. Anshe Emes. And if not, then the whole system of dayanus lacks. So again, you see the idea that din and justice is a concept of perfection. It's a concept of perfection. So a dayan doesn't represent a practical individual. See, a dayan represents a person that stands for the system of mishpat. And mishpat is a great thing. So people have to have faith in mishpat. The people don't have faith in mishpat, then the institution of mishpat is downgraded. And if the institution of mishpat is downgraded, the whole am is downgraded. Because that means that the way the am looks at mishpat is very significant. Because mishpat is a very important thing. Ki am mishpat lelekimhu. Ki am mishpat lelekimhu. Okay. We'll try to get into understanding what it means. What the greatness of justice is. But justice in Yahadus is more than just a practical implementation, but it reflects the highest perfection. And that's why the institution of Dayanus has to be one that people have faith in the individuals that execute the judgment. If they don't, then the whole institution is lacking. Bifnei Ha'am. And that is the great damage to the Am. See, when the Rambam says that it's a terrible damage, he says, "Hu ovedu ma'abed es ha'om b'nizkov." He doesn't mean just in the cases that if he makes a mistake in the case. See, what he means is he's ma'abed ha'om b'nizkov because he reflects the greatest institution, the institution of perfection of mishpat. And if he fails in that realm, then the whole Am, the way the whole Am turns and looks towards Mishpat, is defeated. And therefore, Mishpat itself is defeated. If Mishpat in the Klal is defeated, the whole Klal is destroyed. You see. So in the perfect Ummah, Mishpat is at the center, and people must respect the Mishpat and have faith in the executors of Mishpat, because that's what draws them to the Mishpat. And that forms their whole attitude towards Mishpat. And the attitude towards Mishpat is the attitude towards perfection. So Mishpat and Yahadus is a very inclusive, much more inclusive than the Dine Torah that take place. That the Dine Torah is a small part. That's the practical. But it reflects and represents the highest degree of perfection. Then you come to those are the first three. But the last one, and that's the last one, is the one that requires some understanding, some analysis. And that is Son Evatzel. See, when we come back, you'll see that Yisro's Eitzah was very much tied. The Chachma of Yisro's Eitzah was tied to this idea. But meantime, what I want to do is I want to take up the concepts of Son Evatzel. And here we see Son Evatzel, what Chazal called many halachas from Son Evatzel. And Son Evatzel really is a strange idea, but one that really uncovers what perfection is. In this area, you're dealing with the highest level of perfection, like I mentioned before. And there you see clearly the Chachma of Yisro. He knew what it was. But it's a difficult topic because it's not a very popular topic. Because the topic is one, a topic is not popular when it goes against us. You see, when the things that... When people listen to a drasha on perfection, so no matter how strong the mussar is, everybody walks away happy. Because everybody feels that in some way they're included in the good side. I mean, you know, that the praise is for them, and the rebuke is always somebody else. So an individual can fool themselves. But in the areas of perfection is a very difficult area to talk about honestly, because we realize, if we're honest, we realize that we're not on the level of these things, and it's very painful. It's a painful realization. It's a painful realization. It breaks our fantasy of our own greatness. But Yahadus doesn't really care too much about that. And Yahadus's concern is simply the MS, and wherever it falls, it falls. But this one in specific is one which is, and you'll see when we go through the ideas over here, that it's something which is difficult for us to accept. But you find that idea really in the concept that this difficulty is really found in Bechukosai. Pas says in Bechukosai to Masu, v'imes mishpatai tigal nafshechem. V'imes mishpatai tigal nafshechem means that it's something which is abhorrent. The mishpatim will become abhorrent to you. So why do mishpatim be abhorrent? Why should it be v'imes mishpatai tigal nafshechem? You'll revile them. You'll revile the mishpatim. Why should a person revile the mishpat? So Rashi says that means sone es hachamim. That's what it means. It means he hates the chachamim, despises the chachamim. Why should a person have a hatred for a chachamim? In the world, we don't see a hatred for chachamim. We see any kind of admiration. Albert Einstein, a great chacham, admires him. Great physicist. You admire him. But in Yahadus, we have such a phenomenon. Sone es hachamim. Why do people hate chachamim? I'll tell you why. See, you'll notice it doesn't say sone es hatzadikim. It says sone es hachamim. I'll tell you why. See, tzadikim people love. Chachamim people hate. Real chachamim. I'll tell you why. Because a tzaddik doesn't bother a person. So a person looks at a tzaddik, he says, look at this guy, he gave up olam hazeh, he's suffering, he's righteous, so let him have that. You see? Fine. It's not for me. It's not for me. I'm happy somebody's doing that, and I'm glad it's not me. So what people try to do is they try to get in on the coattails of such people. You see, he's doing already. I'll get myself close to him, and I'll get some of the advantage. You see, without the pain. So the tzaddik is not a person. Tzaddikim, as people understand tzaddikim, is not something that people dislike. But there's no sin out there. No sin out there. Because they feel, look, I have my thing. He has his thing. He's probably right in the long run, but meantime, this is fine. You see. So there's no sin out. A chacham, a person has sin out for. Why? Because the chacham says that what this person who is rodef after the taivas is doing is simply foolish. He's saying he thinks he has olam hazeh. He doesn't have olam hazeh. On the contrary, he's thrown olam hazeh away. And the chacham knows that the way that he's living is superior on every level. And he even mocks the way the individual who thinks he has olam hazeh has. He mocks that way of life. And he looks down at him like he's simply a shaita, a fool. He doesn't understand what life is about, and he thinks he's like a blind, he doesn't know what he's doing. That is something which people find difficulty in accepting. That's a hard thing to accept. For a person to say he's a tzaddik and you're not a tzaddik, that's not such a hard thing to take. Okay? Different ways of life. But, for a person to say that he knows that what he is doing is giving him really happiness and joy and everything which is good, and the other individual who it looks like or he thinks he has all the taivas, but he's really in a state of pain and suffering. That's a difficult thing. That's why even Rabbi Akiva said that he hated the Chacham too when he was in Amaretz. He meant as long as he was in Amaretz, he had to hate the Chacham. Because he sensed in the Chachamim a mockery, even though they didn't openly go around mocking the people. But the derech of the Chachamim was such that you could tell from their derech, from the way they got together and their whole derech hachayim, that they simply looked at everybody like they're living like shotim. You see, so that's a very hard thing. That's a very hard emotion to deal with. It's not egocentric in any way. That's why Chazal say, "Vimish es mishpatai tigal nafshachem." They're the person who reviles it, because he realizes that the chacham is living in a state of mockery of his existence, and that his existence is simply worthless. Not on any level is he envious. On the contrary, he feels sorry for the individual on every level of his existence. That kind of an individual, you see, inspires hatred. Inspires hatred. That's what the Chacham says. So is a Chacham. So when you get into the, because in the truth of the matter is that Yahadus is not really a system of self-sacrifice. That's religious systems are self-sacrifice. And Yahadus is just the opposite. In Yahadus, the system is a system of Chachma and pursuit of Chachma and simply following what your intelligence dictates. But you have to listen to Chachma. And you have to have the darkei chachma. You have to have the darkei chachma. So that's why Chazal say, "In lamadata Torah harbe al tachzik tova la'atzmacha ki lekach notzarto." If you learned a lot of Torah, so don't be machzik tova to yourself. Don't say, "Wow, I'm a great person. I learned Torah. I sacrificed. I did all these difficult things. I overcame all the hurdles." No, on the contrary, the person that learns Torah does not feel any sense of accomplishment as a religious accomplishment. He's a great person. When he looks at his life, he sees what I did. I did what exactly what make sense to do. It would be foolish to do otherwise. I mean, so how could a person, how could an individual take pride in what he did if he just followed what is sensible and what is rational? So that's what Chazal say. That's really the Derech HaTorah. Derech HaTorah is the Derech of Chachma, and when the individual sees that this is really the way of life, he has no choice. I mean, what is the choice? To be a fool? To live like an idiot? I mean, that's a person should be misgoa that he didn't live like a total idiot. I mean, that's not a human emotion. So the Derech HaTorah is that kind of a Derech. But the thing is that when you get into certain areas, it becomes very difficult because the Torah hits on certain elements which we see in ourselves weaknesses, and it becomes hard to accept. This area, Sonei Vatsa, is one which I think exemplifies that kind of an area. An area which is difficult for us to accept. Yeah, so let's take a look at the Ramban. Ramban gives a few interpretations of Sonei Vatsa. They're all correct. It's not a machlekes. They're all correct, but they express different facets. So the first one is interesting. First one is Shesonin es mamonon bedin, that they hate the money they hate their money in din. What exactly does it mean, money in din? They hate their money in din. What is that? What kind of an idea is that? If a person, if somebody owes me money and I go to din Torah and I get the money, why should I hate it? It's mine. I guess we don't, the Yadis doesn't preach crazy ideas. So the Ramban's like this. Kol dina de mafkin mine mamona bedino lav dina. Interesting Chazal. Any dayan that they take money away from him in din, he loses money in din, is not a dayan. Okay? Yeah, a dayan can go to din Torah also. Chazal went to din Torah. But if he loses money in din, so it says he's not a dayan. Lush and Rashi. What does that mean, he loses? Sometimes you can be right, you can lose the din Torah also. Chazal say sometimes a rush is successful, and when he's successful, he even wins in din Torahs. So winning in din Torahs is not a proof. Necessarily that it's his. And if he loses it, it's not a proof that it's not his. So what does it mean? A dayan that loses money in a din Torah, he's not a dayan. So he says, yeah. Yirtzo lafarish. So he says what it means is like this: shekol mamon sheyedu bo sheodom yochol lahotzio miyodam bedin. Any money that a person knows that if he went to a din Torah he would lose it, yisnu also. They hate that money. V'yachziru me'atzman, and they give the money away. Okay, va'afiluhu shelohem bemes. Interesting. Even though it's really theirs. Kigon, for instance, Shekona Eved below Edom. He bought an Eved, or he bought something, an item without Edom. Vikayotzebo. Okay? Yeah. So that's one shot. You see, that's one shot. What's the idea behind that? I mean, he has to hate the money, or what's the idea of hating? You see. But take a look at the next chat, then we'll go back, you'll see what it means. He says like this. He says, Avaloshim b'mechilta einakein, elakach shnu yasham, sonei vatsa shein sonin lekabo mamon bedin. They hate to take money in a din Torah. Divrei Rebbe Yeshua. Rebbe Loza ha-modoy omer, sonei vatsa, elu shein sonin mamon atzman. They hate their own money. And they in mamon atzman sonin, if they hate their own money, kal v'chomo mamon chavereim, certainly they hate to take from somebody else. So he says like this. So the Ramban's like this. So that's the machlokes in Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Elazar Modoy. Rabbi Yeshua is the easiest one to understand. Rabbi Yeshua simply says, he says, Pirush Rabbi Yeshua sonei batza, sonei shochad, kemo kulo batza, ishle bitzo, so he goes through the psukim. So sonei batza. Sonei batza means that they hate bribery. Okay. But the question is, let's start off with that one. What does it mean they hate bribery? What do you mean they hate it? I mean, they don't take bribery. It's not fair. It's unfair. What do you have to hate? What is there to hate about it? And that's really the interesting thing in the pasuk, is that the Torah used the word sina, sonei vatsa. They hate it. So how could a person, or why should a person hate bribery? It's not right. I wouldn't take bribery. But where's the hatred? You see, where's the hatred?
Perhaps the mind.
Yeah, so right. But why should he hate the mama? Why should he hate the shochad? Where's there room for hatred? And over here, the pasuk emphasizes sonei vatsa. And all these things, there's a hatred. So first, we have to understand the generic concept of what that hatred is. You see? The answer is like this. That and especially, what does it mean? Sonei mama natsman. That's they hate their own money. And what kind of a thing is that? Rebbe Nasi was one of the wealthiest people in the door. If he hated the money, why didn't he just give it away? I mean, you don't find ideas like that in Chazal. Many Chazal were Ashirim, extremely, very, extremely wealthy. Doesn't say that they hated their money, so give it away. I mean, there was a philosopher like that. He went into philosophy and he decided money is evil. So he gave all his money away. Yeah. So, but we don't have such ideas. In Yahadis, we don't find such a thing. So what does it mean by sinner? That's like a reaction formation, what psychologists call it. You go from one extreme to another extreme. Money's no good, give it away. But we don't have such ideas. So what does it mean, sonei vatsa? What it means is like this. You see, in Yahadis demands that an individual examine and understand all of his emotions. And when a person understands his emotions, if he doesn't just simply deny his emotions, that's a person could be a good judge that would not think of taking bribery. He'd be a good judge. But sonei vatsa is a different level. Sonei vatsa means, see, a person that is fair in our society, a person that's a good judge is one that is incorruptible. You can't corrupt him. I mean, you can't get him to take bribery. But in Yahadis, we demand something more. Yahadis demands that a person not be alienated from the draw of the emotion of evil. You see? Not block his mind off from the emotion of evil. In our society, the philosophy of our society is that the individual is removed from evil. Like the famous thing, hear no evil, see no evil, removed from evil, you see. And Yahadis demands that we go into evil, that we are aware of what, it's not a simple matter. The draw of the instinct is a very powerful one. And Yahadis demands that an individual understand what it is, not just make light of it and simply say he's an honest person, you see. But he has to study it and he has to understand it. So what does it mean, shochad, sonei shochad? Because in corruption is a tremendously attractive institution. It's not something, I'm fair, I don't want to hear about corruption. That's a societal perfection. But in Yahadis demands that the individual understand that corruption is a very, very enjoyable kind of a phenomenon. It's an enjoyable thing. It's something that people like. When people are corrupt and they're in together in a group, there's a tremendous high in involved. I mean, we're together, we're smarter than the other, we're outsmarting the other people, and we're individual, we're special, when we're for ourselves. There's a certain elitist concept there that's attractive, you see. A person, I'll give you an example. It's an interesting thing. Pasuk says later, Pasuk says in Dvarim. So the Pasuk says that that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he recounts, it's interesting, when he recounts what happened with Yisro, so he says, Eichu asa levadi tarchachem amasachem arifchem. So Moshe, in the beginning of Dvarim, after Shani, he says, Hovo lochem anashachem anvon vidum shiftechem vasimem barashechem. So I can't do it myself. So I said, give me people, and this was Yisrael. And he answered, he said, that's a very good idea. So Rashi says that why were they, so Rashi says that, Rashi says, why did they jump to this plan? So happy Moshe Rabbeinu gave the plan, they immediately jumped for it. Says, Eliyadati machshav asechem. So I know what you wanted. Sheyisam omrim achshav yismanu aleinu dayanam habe. Now we're going to have a lot of judges. And main makirinonu mevin lo daron v'hu nosilon upon him. So yeah, with Moshe Rabbeinu, they felt they didn't have much of a chance. But now there's going to be a lot of judges. A lot of judges. Oh, now we have a chance. See, now we have a chance and we could bribe the Dayan. We could bribe him in some way. Bribery, by the way, doesn't have to be necessarily money. It could be in many, 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 many forms of bribery. Shochad, dvarim, a lot of forms. But the people were happy about that idea. Now, the logical question is, why should somebody be happy about that? Because just like I could bribe him, somebody else could bribe him too. I mean, why should that make a person happy? You see, it's an interesting question. I mean, who says you're going to be the smarter one, that you're going to succeed? The other guy's also smart. Or the other guy could be more intelligent than you, or he could be in a more favorable position with the Dayan. If he's a corruptible Dayan, why should you want him? But it shows you an interesting thing, that man has an attraction to corruption. Man has an attraction to corruption. He would rather have a corrupt system. You see, even though he knows he may lose, but for some reason, he's attracted, he does not want mishpat. Mishpat is cold justice. People are afraid of cold justice. They want to think there is a way, there is a hope. Maybe I'll get this guy. Maybe I can get that guy to help me out. So there is a love, an attraction to corruption, and people would rather have a system, not crazy corrupt, because then you can get killed altogether, but a system that has reasonable amount of corruption, where I can have an edge. You see, I can have an edge. There is hope. There is a chance, you see. So the instinct basically is an instinct, if you want to trace it back a little bit, It's an instinct of favoritism, basically. You might say it's tied very much to that idea, that a person wants to be a favorite. That's a very powerful emotion. He wants to be a favorite. So in a system which is cold justice, it's a frightening system, because I haven't got a chance, because the comfortable feelings that come with a person being a favorite is going to be gone. My security, my whole support system is gone. Everything that I, in life, that I use for my support system is not here now. That's a frightening thing. And that's why people would rather have a corrupt system, even though they know they may get hurt. But the fact is, there is always the hope. People always, you always can have the wishful state that maybe I'll be able to beat this one, you see. That, by the way, happens to be true also with regard to the Melech HaMishpat as well. That people like to think that they have a somehow or other, we can get around this. We can get around the Schar Vanish. That's why Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Lo Yikach Shochad. Many times, Lo Yikach Shochad. Because man is attracted to the idea of Shochad. It's an attraction there. It caters to certain emotions. It's not a rational thing. He thinks it out. Yeah, the other guy might, but you have a chance this way. The other way, you haven't got a chance. You see. So that's what, you see, that's what Yahadus teaches. So Yahadus teaches man not simply to be incorruptible, but to study corruption, to understand the attraction of corruption, and to recognize the emotion, study it, understand its source, you see. And once you see it and you understand its source and you see its attraction and you see where it leads a person to, so then there has to be a sinner for it. It's a philosophical sinner. It's a sinner for something that lures an individual. It's alluring, but the person who's the chacham knows that it is very, very harmful, so he repels it. He has a revulsion towards it, because he knows that it's an attraction that is alluring and is insidious and is harmful, and he recognizes it and he despises it. You see, that's That's sone vatsa. That's sone vatsa. See, in our society, the perfection is they don't take vatsa. But we don't have, in our society, a concept of sone vatsa. It does not exist. In the world at large, even in the most honest places, the most honest judgment, that concept, the world has not yet attained, has not reached that idea. That it's not simply not to be corrupt, to be incorruptible, it's to understand the lure of corruption. Fully engage your mind in understanding it and analyzing it. Don't just say it's nothing. Understand it, and when you see how it works and how attractive it is, then you realize that it's something that is repulsive because it's sheker, it's false. You see, that's the pshat in Rabbi Yeshua's din, that the Divrei Rabbi Yeshua, shesonu l'kabal mamon b'din. The chiddush is not that he's not corruptible. Of course, it's no chiddush. The chiddush is that he has a hatred for it. He understands and he recognizes how enjoyable it is, the emotion of being involved in shochad and in a scheme, the enjoyment of a scheme. The scheme is very enjoyable. He understands it and how alluring it is. He understands every facet and he realizes that that is sheker and he despises it. That's the Rabbi Yeshua's pshat. Yes.
How can anyone ever like the
Dayan
then if everyone wants corruption?
How can anybody like the Dayan? Good question. That's a good question. Well, what it shows you is that Yahadus recognizes the fact that there is that it's tremendously alluring, Yahadus also recognizes that there's a part of man that searches for the emes. There is a part of man that appreciates the emes. And that's basically the whole objective of the society of Yahadus, to gear man towards his love of emes. Yahadus doesn't say man has no love of emes. Nah, people recognize emes. But the whole purpose of Torah is really to focus man on emes and to get him to be drawn towards emes and revile evil, you see. To recognize it, know what it is, know that it's sheker, and know that it's going to lead the person down a path of total destruction. And therefore, when he feels the lure, he repulses it. You see, that he rejects it. That's sone vatsa. That's a concept in Yahadus. That's a concept that only Yahadus has. Different kind of a level of mishpat. That's the simplest pshat. That's Rabbi Yeshua's pshat. But even that simple pshat has a deep idea. But the other ones are on the surface a little more difficult. The other two. The first one I mentioned, let's take the first one. The first one is where he says any money, a dayan that loses money in a din Torah, lav dayan. It doesn't mean he lost the din Torah. I mean, obviously, he loses the din Torah for many reasons. But it means that he loses a din Torah that he would have lost rightfully. He would have lost rightfully. Yeah. So what is that perfection? Even though it's his money. So what is the perfection over there? You see, the perfection in that case, it's an interesting thing. You have like this. The Rambam says, for instance, and we have a strange attitude towards a din Torah in general. The whole idea of how we look at a din Torah is very strange. Because the Rambam says like this. The Rambam says, in that same Rambam I mentioned before, he says, how should the dayan be noheg? So he says, v'yinog barov dinom b'derech ha-pshara. So most of the time the dayan should seek pshara between the bali din. Should try to get them to work it out. Okay. V'myuchal adayin lafasher bein ha-yerivim tomid v'lo yifsog din klal. And if the dayan is such a good dayan, and he's so diplomatic that he's able to always have the litigants work it out, he says, ha-reza mishubach. Okay. V'imiyef shel lafasher. But if he can't do it, then yifsog es ha-din. Then he has to be posing the din. Okay. And then, of course, he goes into how the dayan must be posek the din la'amito exactly. Why? Because basically what the dayan is doing is the dayan is doing, like the Ramban says in Kiyam Mishpul Alekimu. Mishpul Alekimu, he says he's the Shliach Hashem. And the Shliach Hashem in implementing Mishpat in the land. Because God is the Melech HaMishpat. So it's an interesting thing. So the question is, and the Ramban says, Ramban in Dvarim says, Ki HaMishpat LeLakimu, he says, because that's God's will that his Bruim should be Noheg in Derech HaMishpat. In Derech HaMishpat. So therefore, if the Dayan doesn't do that, so he fails in his mission as a Shliach Hashem. So God's will is that everything should be Mishpat. So if that's the case, so why Pshara? So why should you have Pshara? I mean, on the contrary, God's will is Mishpat. So if the Mishpat is that it's mine, so why should I make a Pshara with somebody and give up what is really mine in din, you see? And you see the Ram emphasizes that that the Dayan should always try for Mishpat. That's his first choice. And if you could always do Mishpat, it's wonderful. Pshara. Why? Because Pshara really is the first thing before Mishpat. But really, Mishpat is the highest level. Mishpat, that's Melech HaMishpat, Melech HaYivtzdako Mishpat. The Nihug should always be with Mishpat. So on the contrary, we should say that what the Dayan should do is implement Mishpat all the time. You see, implement Mishpat all the time. The answer is that what Yehadus maintains is that Mishpat is great, but it is greater for a person to be mochel his Mishpat. Mishpat atzmo is not great. You see, Mishpat is the greatest thing, but Mishpat atzmo is not great. On the contrary, when it comes to a person's individual state, it is much greater if he is mavir, if he overlooks his own Mishpat. That's a perfection in man. See, that's a perfection in man. So, but once the Balei Dinim don't want to do that, so the first thing that, and there's where you see that a Dayan is really, the role of a Dayan is perfection. So what the Dayan should do is he should really try to cause the litigants to overlook their own Mishpat. See, it's the same thing, that's why the same thing by Nekama. Why can't a person take Nekama? Nekama is the one, can Nekama Hashem? Nekama is Din. Nakam Yinakim is din. But the answer is, it's din, but you should overlook your personal din that the Torah is not in favor of. An individual, even though it's a din, even though in din he deserves it, he should give up. He should be mochel. It is better for a person to be mochel on his din, on what's rightfully his. That's a high level, even though in din it's his, you see. But if the litigants don't want to do that, you can't get them to that level that they're mochel on their own personal din. Now it's somebody else's din because they don't want to do that. Now it must be 100% to the nth degree, perfect din, because that's the derech of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Derech of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is he's noeg b'mishpat in b'riyasov. Noeg b'mishpat in b'riyasov. Yes.
Why is
it perfection
on
that? Because it's perfection mochel on a person's own din is because it is really, really has to do with the basic idea of the perfection of man is that an individual recognizes that everything that he has in din is given to him by a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's a matnas akel, but basically, Everything really belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there is no real bialis, and there is no real ownership. It's just something which is a part of Nihug B'nei Adam, but basically it's Vanochi Yofa Veifa. So the highest level is if a person is mochel on his din. Yes.
Okay.
understand that. But what happens, like, if the guy, one party is mokel on Mishpat, and the other party who's really supposed to lose becomes the winner. So then you don't have Mishpat at all on Pshara.
If the party is mokel,
One party is mokel on his Mishpat.
And the other party?
The winning party, exactly. Or should be the winning party.
Okay. And the other party succeeds.
The other party said he's glad to take the money.
That's not a pshara. See, a pshara doesn't mean intimidation. That's not a pshara. In other words, a person rightfully has something that's his, and he's intimidated by the other party. That's less a grum neish. On the contrary, shouldn't be afraid. That we say a person should not do. A person should do what's right. But pshara means he's a mavral midosov. He doesn't have exactly. He's mechel. That's a high level of individual. That's a high level of a person. Doesn't mean he simply isn't willing to fight. I mean, he's just cowardly. I mean, he just gives up. That's not a milah. But it means that when it comes to an individual din, even though it's mine, it is a milas ha'odam that he recognizes nothing is really his. Nothing's really his. That's a high level of person. Like the Gemara says by Eev. Eev never took change from the stocky. Never took change. Well, the change was his. That's it. It's the Gemara said that was a great milah. So for a person to be mochel al dino, that's a level of perfection. But at the same time, if individuals aren't mochel on, then now we must have a neogadin 100% because it's his, and that's the melech hamishpat. And if you don't do that, then you're not following the shlichus of the melech hamishpat. So Yehadus looks at it in two ways. So the dayan, you see, the role of the dayan is really to implement perfection. That's his role. So he should try to get the people to be mavri al midasehem, to give up on that which is rightfully theirs, you see. But if they can't do that, then it must be exact, precise mishpat. Yikova din asahar. So that's why the Gemara says a dayan that knows that in din he can't be motzi the mammon, so he doesn't pursue it. See, because that's a perfection. Which means to say he knows in din he really can't win, so another individual keeps on going because he says it's mine. It's mine and he can't let go of it. And it's true. It's true. But that means he has an unnatural attachment to that which is his. You see, that means that the personal justice is overriding in his mind. It's mine. I couldn't take it away. See, that's not a dayan. A dayan must have perfection, and perfection demands that even though it's his 100%, he's simply maver. You know, that's it. I can't get it in din, so I have no interest in it. And it's as if he never had it. You see, that's a level of perfection. That's a level of perfection. Why do most people go to din Torah even though they may not have they may not be able to motzi the din? The answer is because they simply can't give it up. You see, because it's theirs. I have to fight for this. This is mine. So that Chazal say is a dayan is a rational individual. So he's rational. He knows I practically can't get this money. It's mine. Mine, not mine. Doesn't matter. He's able to, he has the ability to say that which is, that's what I mean, son of my, even though it's his, rightfully it's his, but he's able to say that when it comes to my mishpat, I'm mochel, my personal mishpat. The Torah is in favor of mishpat, not personal. Personal mishpat is not a milah. An individual who fights for his rights. Most people are that way. Most people, why do they fight for their rights? Because it's usually when they're hurt, then they start fighting for other people's rights in a similar way. You see? But it's really their rights. So in Yehadus, that's one of the ideas of Sonei Batza. That he's an individual that doesn't have an inordinate sense of justice when the justice has to do with him. You see? So when it has to do with him, on the contrary, he looks at it practically. I can't be, what are my chances of getting this bedin? Not good. Forget it. See, as mine? Mine doesn't matter. There's no such thing as mine. Kilat Hashem Oretz. That's true perfection. Yes.
When a dayan tries to give
Shara to the litigants. There's a concept of Shara, Shalom. It's that's the idea of Shara. It's a din sheyesh bo shalom. That's what it means. It means that he makes the people realize that their friendship is worth more than the little injustice that each one may think he's suffering. That's the concept. That's a high level. Okay. Yeah. Yes.
The litigant who loses.
Yeah. It's probably true. It's good psychology. But I want to take the last one. The last one is the hardest one to understand. So the first one's a little easier, the shochet, but the second one you can understand is basically the idea of pshara, that the Torah loves mishpat, but not your own mishpat. Your own mishpat is, you're not a big tzaddik if you're in favor of mishpat when it's your mishpat. They on the contrary, it should be mochel. Okay. But then the last one is, it doesn't mean, of course, the guy should be a fool and just give away his money. I mean, that's not sensible. It means pshara means that he's not medate kechut asayra. He's happy to, he's had a little less. That's it. Even though he knows he's entitled to it. He doesn't have an absolute attraction to that which is his based on absolute terms. Absolute terms with somebody else. Okay. But now he says like this. The last one is a little hard to understand. He says, Shesonin Mamon Atzma. Now the Ramban explains. What is that one? Rabbi Elazar Modoy Dosh, Ki Heima Sonim HaMamon Harav. They hate a lot of money. Ve'ein Lohem Chayfetz Beribui Kesev Azov. And they don't have a desire for a lot of money. Kesev Azov. Ribui Kesev Azov. Ki Inyan Im Esmach Ki Rav Chayli V'chi Kabir Matzah Yadi. Well, I'd be happy if I have a lot of money. Chayli, there is money. Okay. Ki HaMamon Yikore Betza. Ma Betza Kinar Zachinu. Okay. So what is that idea? I mean, what kind of an idea is that? Like I mentioned before, I mean, they're Gedolei Chacham, extremely wealthy. They hate Ribui Mammon. I mean, Yehuda Nasi was one of the wealthiest people in the world. So what does it mean he hates the Ribui HaMammon? Ribui HaMammon. Plain shot, it means a desire for endless wealth. Endless wealth. Okay. So I can understand the Torah say that's an imperfection. That's an imperfection. But why does it have to do with a dayan? With a dayan in specific? And what does it have to do with mishpat in specific? And the question is, how does the Torah look at mishpat? What is mishpat? We still didn't get to the basic idea of mishpat. And what's the concept of mishpat? Interesting is in the Rambam in the Pirush Mishnayos, the Rambam says like this. The Rambam says like this. He talks about the dayan, and he says like this. The lo yidof acharei ha-menuchos va-tainugos. Says the dayan shouldn't run after the menuchos, relaxations and tainugos, pleasures. In other words, the luxurious life. He should not run after luxurious life. Kidei shelo yupokru zechuyos bnei odom v'yichbishu ha-taivos. Okay. That's strange. I mean, what exactly does it mean? Kidei shelo yupokru zechuyos bnei odom v'yichbishu ha-taivos. You see? Then again, he says later, and he goes into all different things about how a dayan has to be noeg, and he comes back. He says like this, V'roi l'dayan shelo yarbe b'redifos taivas olam, the avas amamon. He says, dayan should not run after the taivas olam and the avas amamon, the highest ravravos, and fame and greatness. G'mor sh'omar kosef sone botza. That's Vamar all of a shalom. Chazal say Melech b'mishpat yamid aretz. So he quotes the Gemara in Ksubos. In doma adayin lemelech she'ain etzarach leklum, then he's mamid aretz. But if he's like a person, like a dayin that's machzal, like a kain that's machzal besa granos, that he looks, he's always looking for money here and there. So then he's destructive. So the Rambam mentions it twice. Why does he mention it twice? Why does he repeat it? So the same paragraph. The reason is he's talking about two different problems. You see, the first problem he's talking about is simply in the din itself. That's why he says he can't be a person that runs after menuchos, a person that looks to luxuriate and to relax, relaxations. Kidei shelo yupokru zechuyos b'nei odom v'yichbishu ataivos. Because when a person lives in a life where he's captured by the taivas, so what happens is that he's always looking for menucha, for relaxation, for luxuriation. So an individual like that can't really function as a dayan, because the dayan has to be concerned. He has to be up at night thinking, what about this, that, and all the possibilities, the din. He has to think it through. He has to have a, he has to have his energies involved in the case, simply in understanding and coming to a din lamita. So the first thing Rambam says, a person that's a relaxer is not fit for a dayan. That's not the man that you want as a dayan. I mean, he's yichpashua taifas. It means he's in a state where the taifas control him, and he's not, he's not, his energies are not in thought. Are not in thought. His energies aren't in thought. He's not going to be a good dayan. I mean, that's a practical thing. That one is understandable. But the second one is more difficult. What is the second one? The second one is where he repeats again. V'roi l'dayin sh'layar b'b'difas taivas olam v'yavas amom v'as ravravos. K'mo shoma kosa soni botza. You see? Over there, he's not talking about the practicality. He's talking about the gavra of the dayin. The gavra of the dayin. So what is this last idea of the gavra of the dayin? He already took care of it before. So he said the dayin can't be a rodef after the taivas. So why is he repeated again? So it's a second kind of a psul. It's a different kind. One is a practical psul. That's the first one. The second one is a psul in the gavra of the dayin. Now, why is that a psul in the gavra of the dayin? Let's say it's a psul. Okay. Let's say it's a bad thing that a person, everybody understands, and even a common person understands that pursuit of endless wealth is a mishigas. Okay. So, but why is that such a bad thing? Plenty of mishigasin that people have. I mean, everybody knows there's no purpose in it. They laugh at people that are extraordinarily wealthy. There's no purpose in his money, and the people recognize that it's a useless thing. Okay, they may respect it, but whatever. It's an accomplishment, but why is, so let's say it's something, it's not good. Why is that such a psul in the gavra of a dayan? I mean, what's so bad? A person can have many crazy emotions, but it doesn't, the Torah doesn't list every, the Ram doesn't list every crazy thing. Why this one? What is special about this? You see, I think you have to understand, in order to understand this, you have to understand what mishpat means. See, the pasuk says, ki ha mishpat lelekim hu, like the Ramban says, that's midas mishpat is not a practical matter. When the dayan is judging, you shouldn't think, it's just a practical matter over here. We have to make everybody happy, so we have to keep society happy. So that's why it's a societal matter. We have to do that which is most expedient. You see, that's not the concept. The concept is ki ha-mishpat le-lekim hu, because mishpat stems from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what is mishpat? What does it mean it stems from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What is mishpat? And why should a person have a love of mishpat? A love of mishpat. And we're mispawal from mishpat. Shiva shoftenu kvar rishona. So we ask for mishpat. What exactly is mishpat? You see, and what does it mean? A Kadosh Baruch Hu is nohegan with mishpat. So mishpat really means that it is the opposite of what we spoke about before. The netiyah of man is against mishpat. He looks for a favorite position. Mishpat is objectively what each creature, what each one of the bruin deserves. The reality of what an individual deserves. That's mishpat. That's mishpat. That's what it means. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the melech ha'etzdaka mishpat. Mishpat means the reality of what I deserve in terms of God's plan as a creature. What is mine? What am I entitled to? And what do I need that's in compliance with my needs as a creature, as a nivra, you see? That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only one that's the Melech HaMishpat, because he knows his bruim and he knows what each one should have. And the person that loves Mishpat loves Emes, because he loves that which is in line with his reality. So a dayan has to be a metaphysician. A dayan is ki ha-mishpat le-lekim hu. It means he has to have a love of mishpat. He has to have a love of emes, a love of that which the Creator dictated, what is implicit in the creation, what belongs to each individual, according to the way he was created with the Yetzirah through HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is really what Mishpat is. That's why the Rambam says, again, that there's two things wrong with the Dayan, that the Dayan that's Rodef Mamon. First, he just says he's Rodef Mamon, he says, because he's not going to have his head in the case. I mean, he likes to luxuriate. He's not a person that's going to stay up at night wondering about a din. So he just can't function as Dayan. But the second one is a psul in the gavra of a Dayan. Why is it a psul in the gavra of a Dayan? Because, and that's what the Ramban is saying. That's the Maimar of Rabbi Elazar Madoy. Sonin Mamon Atzmon. What does it mean? It means to say, Ribui HaMamon. Endless wealth. What is wrong with endless wealth? It's not simply a mishigas, an imperfection. It means that he has no recognition of what is his. There's no gvul. He has no concept that man is created with a certain nature, and his nature demands, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu created him, that he has certain needs. Those needs are fixed, finite. The desire for Ribui Mamon means that he fails to recognize in his own personal life the basic fundamental principle of Mishpat, which is that each individual is created in a certain way. He has a certain profile. His soul has a certain profile. And that profile demands a certain things. Those things are fixed. And that is a love of justice, is a love of the Bruin and what their tzrachim are and what their needs are. You see. So that's what the Rambam says, that that's an intrinsic imperfection, because it means the whole concept of Mishpat is devoid. He's devoid of the whole concept of Mishpat. Because with regard to himself, there's no gvul. There's no gvul. So if there's no gvul, so the whole basic idea that an Odom is created in a way where he has a fixed needs and fixed good, and beyond that is nothing, that concept, he doesn't have that concept, you see. So that's a psul in the gavra of a dayan. See, that's a psul in the personality of the dayan. He's simply devoid of the whole concept of mishpat. So mishpat has to be. It doesn't mean he's sone mamon. That that's a crazy idea. That's what maybe that nasi who was a very wealthy man, that he hated the money and he gave it away. You don't find such a thing. What it means is that he didn't have a desire for endless wealth. That desire is an imperfection, because that's a denial of the very concept of Mishpat. Mishpat means that every individual has what he deserves according to the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's really Malach HaMishpat. It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu supplies each individual through his justice with what is theirs. So that psul is a psul that governs the very essence of a dying. Yes.
How would a dayan know what each
priest serves? I don't know. It doesn't mean, you know, see, what it means is, and that goes back to the concept of Anshei Chayil. He's a Zoriz. What does it mean he's a Zoriz? He's a Zoriz means he's motivated by the ideas of justice. And he loves the ideas of justice. Because the ideas of justice is to love the ideas of the creation. And the beauty of the creation reflects the Chochmas Hashem. So a dayan Anshei Chayil means he's a zoriz to implement mishpat, because mishpat is something that he loves, because that's chachmas Hashem, that's emes. So if in his personal life he has an emotion which is a desire for endless wealth, ribui hamamon, that means he's out of the realm of mishpat. That he doesn't recognize the realm of mishpat at all. He's not roy to be a dayan. You see. That's what Rabbi Elazar Madoy says. That's the concept of the Rola. And the idea that he's a sone mamon atzmo is the idea that it's not an idea, again, it's not an idea that he doesn't know what that desire is. You see, that's not sone. It means he recognizes that such a desire is very, very existent. I mean, exists in man. It's common. It's a part of his nature. It's an emotion which is a very powerful emotion. He recognizes the emotion, and he recognizes the harm of the emotion. He recognizes that this emotion is taking a man away from emes, and it can only lead him to disaster. So he has a sinner. He's sone Momana. What does it mean, Sone Momana? So not the money he hates. It means he's a Sone of that emotion which leads man to a way of life, which lures a person to a way of life, which is a denial of the very basic fundamental principle of Mishpat. That's the concept of Sone Batzar. It's not simply that he doesn't have the emotion. Doesn't have the emotion. There's probably something wrong with it. He doesn't have emotion. Emotion stems from an instinctual source. So he has to recognize the emotion and know that it exists, that it's a component of man, and to understand where it stems from, and that this emotion is one that is supposed to, that he will naturally revile because he knows where it takes man. He knows what it can do to him. He understands it. And therefore he's a Sony. He hates it. Okay. Yeah. That's correct. That's right. That's not what Yad is saying. That's like a reaction formation. That's a psychological where he simply, that means he has the desire and he counters it with an opposite emotion. That's not what Yad this means. What we're saying is, because what Yad this is saying is a philosophical hatred. Where the person he doesn't deny the emotion. He recognizes the emotion. He recognizes that everybody has that emotion. It's a part of man. It didn't come from nowhere. So he recognizes it. He understands it. And he understands that this can lead, what this emotion can do to him, and that it's completely against the Bria, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man. And that's why he reviles it. It's a philosophical revulsion. These ideas are at the core of perfection. These ideas. And that's why I say Yisro was great. Oh, Yisro wasn't just an ordinary person. What he understood what is where the heart of perfection is. That's the essence of perfection. That a person should be able to overcome his own emotions and fantasies and should recognize them, have knowledge of them, know where they lead him, and recognize that that's against the MS and against the Mishpat that HaKadosh Baruch Hu implanted. And then that's the essence of perfection. Yeah, that's Mishpat. Mishpat is the essence of perfection. Everything is Mishpat. That's why the Navi is constantly Mishpat. See, Mishpat is always Mishpat. Because Mishpat, if a person is a person of Mishpat, he is the ultimate Oved Hashem. Yeah, the question about the first question we raised was about Yisro. What was his great chachma? You see, what was his great chachma over there? Delegation of authority. And it's interesting, when Moshe Rabbeinu recounts it in Dvarim, he doesn't mention Yisro. Very interesting thing. He doesn't mention Yisro. He just says that he says Eicho Asa Levadi Torchachem Masachem Rifchem. So he says Havu Lachem. I told you Havu Lachem Anashim Chachamu Nevanu Dum Shiftechem. He doesn't mention a word about Yisro. Why does he mention Yisro? But the answer is like this. What Yisro's advice to Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't what was his advice to Moshe Rabbeinu? You see, if you take a look in Dvarim, so it says when Moshe Rabbeinu, Rashi says in the beginning, when Moshe Rabbeinu said, when they responded, they said, yeah, Tova Dova Shadibat Lassos. So Rashi says that, he says, Hoya Lachem Lahashiv. He says, you should have answered, Rabbeinu Moshe, Mimino Lomod, who's it better to learn from? Mimcho or Mitalmidecha? Lo Mimcho, Shinitztaarto Lela? Moshe Rabbeinu was disappointed in their response, not for himself. But he said, your response was not a good one. Because he should have said, we'd rather learn from you. That should have been the response. Mimino alumo. You are Shomei Piagvura. It's Ta'atolaha. You're the one that we should learn from. But they immediately said, no, it's a good idea. You see. So what does that show you? Over there is revealed what went on in Moshe Rabbeinu's mind. See, Moshe Rabbeinu, why didn't he think of the simple idea of delegation of authority? The answer is very simple, right there. Because he felt that he is mechuyev to be the melamed. So, mimino elomod. He felt that he is the one that has to be melamed Torah. And that was the tzivui. And if he gives it to somebody else, it's not going to be the same Torah. So, therefore, he felt the responsibility, and he felt he had a tzivui, mipi agvor, to be melamed Torah. So, how could he delegate it? You see. So, it's true that it's very impractical, but the fact is, so you have less. We don't go for quantity. The main thing is quality. Whoever he could do, and that's it. But and of course, I mean, they'll naturally, I mean, it doesn't mean no one's going to say anything besides him, but basically he is the Malami. What Yisro said, an interesting thing. Yisro said, no. He says, what do you have to do? He says, you have to ask a shaila here. Yisro's advice was not delegation of authority. Yisro's advice was to be Shoel, to ask God. Because you see, what did he say? He says, Shema Bekoli Iotzcho V'yehi Elokim Imach. You see? And Rashi says, what does it mean, V'yehi Elokim Imach? He says, you should be Shoel. You should be Shoel. Where's Rashi? V'yehi Elokim Imach. Be'etza, Amalot, Tzei Hamlech B'gvura. Go ask a Kadosh Baruch. You see, sometimes a person is a chacham, not simply because he gives great advice. He just tells somebody, you have to ask a shaila. That's also great advice. You see, Yisro's whole advice was to Moshe Rabbeinu, ask a shaila. Moshe Rabbeinu assumed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't tell me otherwise, so why wouldn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell me that I should do it? But Yisro said, no, he taught Moshe Rabbeinu an ideal here, but not that simple, of course. I mean, we're simplifying everything. I mean, we can't go into Das Moshe Rabbeinu and Das Yisro, but just to get an overview. But what he told Moshe Rabbeinu was, this is a time for a shaila. I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, didn't tell you to do that. The answer is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Malamed. And a good Malamed doesn't tell a Talmud everything. He waits, Talmud asks a question. So Yisro said, this is one of those cases. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to ask a shaila. It's not a Deva Pashat. But why did Moshe Rabbeinu not think of that himself and ask a shaila? It turns out an interesting thing that Yisro, and that's where you see that Yisro was a tremendous chacham, the great chacham of Yisro. That Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Well, Yisro long leinayim." He says, "Come with us because you'll give us ideas." You see, he gave Moshe Rabbeinu over here. Right? He said, "This Hakadosh Baruch Hu wants you, but he didn't tell you not because he doesn't want you. He wants you to ask a shaila. You have to ask a shaila at this point. What was this shaila? But there's one thing that Yisro opened up that allowed Moshe Rabbeinu to see why there's a shaila over here. Because there's no shaila, you don't just ask. But in Yisro's Lashon, he said like this. He said that, he says, Shema Bekoli Yatzcha V'Yihi Elokim Imach, you have to ask a shaila. Heye Ata La'om Mul Holokim. Ve'veso Atos Advorim El Holokim. So he said like this. See, the function of a dayan is to implement this great institution of mishpat, which is everything, which is the height of perfection. But Moshe Rabbeinu thought the only way he could be melame the chukim is himself personally, okay? Because he was the individual to learn from somebody less is wouldn't be as good. But Yisro said no. He says your function is for everybody. But what's your function? You're mul holokim. And the whole nation knows, the fact that the whole nation knows that there is a Moshe Rabbeinu, that there is a Mol Holokim, and the Shilas filter up to Moshe Rabbeinu, so that's how you're mashpia on the whole nation. So he knew that he has to be mashpia on the whole nation. But he thought that means he simply has to teach himself. And Yisro said, no. He said, maybe that's not, it's true. It's Torah's Moshe, and it has to be through you. But maybe your role is that the people know that these questions, ultimately, they reach you. And there is a Mul Holokim. There is a Moshe Rabbeinu. Who's Shoel Mipi Agvura, ultimately. And that is, in that way, you'll influence the entire nation. He says, you have to ask a shaila about that. That was Yisro's advice. That was Yisro's chachma. Okay. Why didn't he quote Yisro? Because it was a personal thing. See, no, that was a personal thing between him and Moshe Rabbeinu. He told Moshe Rabbeinu, he opened up his eyes that he asked to ask a shaila. No sense going through that. So it wasn't the great advice. If it was really the advice, so he would have said this was Yisro's idea. It wasn't his idea. His idea was to ask a shaila. You see?